The EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to a new edition of Vatican Insider. After my report on the news highlights, stay tuned for the Q&A, and then my special story about the Via Lucis, the Way of Light, basically a post-Easter journey through 14 stations of light, the light that fills our life because of the resurrection. This devotion is also known as the Stations of the Resurrection, as it encourages the faithful to meditate on the resurrection of Jesus and on his post-resurrection appearances to the disciples and others. Easter is a season so rich in wonderful stories, and the Via Lucis is one of them and a favorite of mine. And now the news highlights of the week just passed. Sunday, April 7th. This, of course, was Divine Mercy Sunday, and Pope Francis recited the Regina Caeli prayer with the faithful in St. Peter's Square. This prayer replaces the Angelus in the Easter season until Pentecost. He invited the faithful to continue to pray for peace, a just, lasting peace, especially for the tormented Ukraine and for Palestine and Israel. And Francis reiterated his tireless appeal to those in power to do everything possible to stop ongoing conflicts. The Pope also mentioned the International Day of Sport for Development and Peace. This is celebrated annually on April 6th. It was established by the United Nations as an opportunity to recognize the positive role sport and physical activity play in communities and in people's lives across the globe. Monday, April 8th, Pope Francis met with 8 relatives of Israeli hostages being held in Gaza since October 7th, 2023. In November, the Holy Father had met with a group of hostage relatives in his residence, as well as with another group, separately, of relatives of those suffering from the war and the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. He has repeatedly called for a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip to facilitate access to humanitarian aid, for negotiations to end the war, and for the release of the hostages. Also Monday, the Holy Father met with the Council of Bishops of the Diocese of Rome. Having just removed the Cardinal Victor of Rome, Angelo De Donatis, and assigned him to head the Vatican's Apostolic Penitentiary, Pope Francis told the bishops that due to the delicacy of the office of Cardinal Vicar, he would take some time to make a healthy discernment on the figure of the person whom he will appoint as Cardinal Vicar. Tuesday, April 9th, Archbishop Paul Gallagher, the Vatican's Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations, began his journey to Vietnam, where he will stay until Sunday, April 14th. In December, in a diplomatic breakthrough, the Holy See and Vietnam reached an agreement to appoint a resident pontifical representative in Vietnam in the person of the Apostolic Nuncio to Singapore, Polish-born Archbishop Marek Zalowski. The agreement was signed in July 2023 during President Vo Van Thuong's visit to the Vatican. Wednesday, April 10th. At the weekly general audience in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis told the pilgrims, in our continuing catechesis on the virtues, we now consider fortitude, which the catechism defines as, quote, the moral virtue that ensures firmness in difficulties and constancy in the pursuit of the good. With the help of this virtue, he said, we are strengthened in our daily efforts, sustained by grace, to resist a temptation and to overcome all obstacles to living fully our new life in Christ. Those obstacles may be from within, such as fear, anxiety, or guilt, or from without, such as trials, tribulations, or persecution. Cultivating the virtue of fortitude, said Francis, makes us take seriously the reality of evil and actively combat all forms of injustice in the world around us. In an appeal at the end of the audience, the Holy Father asked for prayers for those affected by massive flooding in Kazakhstan, which has impacted many regions of the Central Asian country and forced thousands of people to evacuate. He also asked for prayers for those suffering from conflicts in the Holy Land, Ukraine, and Myanmar. Thursday, April 11th, Pope Francis addressed the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences on the occasion of its plenary assembly, 30 years after its foundation. The members were discussing the theme, Disability and the Human Condition, Changing the Social Determinants of Disabilities and Building a New Culture of Inclusion. Francis emphasized the need for inclusive societies that recognize the dignity and rights of people with disabilities, denouncing the throwaway culture, and advocating for integral inclusion and solidarity. The Church's social teaching is very clear in this regard, he said. Persons with disabilities are fully human subjects with rights and duties, and every human being has the right to live with dignity and to develop integrally. Even if they are unproductive or were born with or develop limitations, this does not detract from the great dignity as human persons, a dignity based not on circumstances, but on the intrinsic worth of their being. Unless this basic principle is upheld, there will be no future either for fraternity or for the survival of humanity. Also Thursday, Pope Francis met with members of the Pontifical Biblical Commission as it concluded its annual plenary assembly on the theme of illness and suffering in the Bible. The Pope commended their work in exploring this deeply existential theme that touches the life of every human person. I wondered nature, he said, bears within itself the realities of limitation and finitude and suffers the contradictions of evil and pain. Jesus, said Pope Francis, exhorts us to take care of those living in situations of infirmity with the determination to defeat illness. At the same time, he gently invites us to join our sufferings to his salvific offer as a seed that bears fruit. Jesus does not explain suffering, but bends towards those who suffer, said the Pope. He does not approach pain with generic encouragement and sterile consolations, but accepts its drama, allowing himself to be touched by it. Thursday afternoon at the parish of San Giovanni Maria Vianney, near Rome, Pope Francis met with about 200 children studying the catechism in preparation for their first communion. Friday, April 12th, in an audience with members, trustees, and stewards of the U.S.-based Papal Foundation, Pope Francis said, since its inception, the foundation has been a vessel of Easter joy by bringing the closeness, compassion, and tender love of Jesus to countless brothers and sisters throughout the world. Your support, he told the members, of various educational, charitable, and apostolic projects enhances the integral development of so many, including the poor, refugees, migrants, and nowadays, the increasingly large numbers of those affected by war and violence. Since its establishment, the Papal Foundation and its stewards of St. Peter have allocated more than $225 million in grants and scholarships worldwide to more than 2,400 projects selected by Pope Francis, Pope Benedict, and Pope St. John Paul. Thanking the foundation for its generosity, Francis also mentioned the scholarships provided to laity, consecrated religious, seminarians, and priests from developing nations, enabling them to pursue studies at pontifical universities in Rome, at the heart of the Church, and to equip their recipients to bear witness to the gospel more effectively, both in their home countries and beyond. Now, one final piece of news this week. The 2024 Pontifical Yearbook, issued April 9th, by order of Pope Francis, has reinserted the title Patriarch of the West among those given to a pope. It had been removed from the yearbook by Benedict XVI in 2006 as a gesture of goodwill to the Eastern churches. In 2019, Pope Francis had all the remaining titles, except for Bishop of Rome, moved to another page of the yearbook, and in the 2020 edition of the Annuario, they were listed as, quote, historic titles. Now those titles are Vicar of Jesus Christ, Successor of the Prince of the Apostles, Supreme Pontiff of the Universal Church, Primate of Italy, Archbishop and Metropolitan of the Province of Rome, Sovereign of Vatican City State, Servant of the Servants of God. No explanation for the addition was offered by the Holy See Press Office. That's the news, but now stay here for the Q&A on the Paschal Candle and my special on the Via Lucis. Welcome to the Q&A, and this week we're going to talk about the Paschal Candle, what it is, and what symbols are on it. Fire, as you may know, has long been a sign of God's presence. Early Christians viewed the kindling of a new fire as a symbol of the presence of the resurrected Lord, the new pillar of fire. Used during Easter time, the Paschal Candle is an immense candle, often up to 5 feet high, in a large and very ornate holder. It is blessed during the Easter Vigil, and smaller candles are lit from this. For many centuries, people used to bring a lighted candle to their home to light the hearth fire. The Paschal Candle symbolizes the light of the risen Christ, who comes in glory to dispel the darkness in our lives, thus overcoming death. It is usually adorned with a cross. At the top of the upright beam is the Alpha sign, and at the bottom is the Omega. These are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, and they symbolize Christ, the first and the last, the living one, as we read in Revelation. They also indicate that all time belongs to Christ. By the way, I'm sure you know that the very word alphabet is comprised of Alpha and Beta, the first two letters of the Greek alphabet. Now, five pins are placed in the candle, usually at the end of each beam and in the center, to signify Christ's five wounds. And very often, in the four angles created by the upright and the cross beam, there are four numbers of the current year. This candle is customarily lit at Mass throughout the Easter season that ends on Pentecost Sunday. After the last service on Pentecost, the Paschal Candle is moved to the baptistry, and from its light, the candles of newly baptized infants are lighted throughout the year.
This is Father John Trigilio. We need Catholic Radio because it is a lifeline to Holy Mother Church. Catholic Radio enables us to know what the Church teaches, but also to have solidarity with one another. It is one way that we express our commonality, our communio, that we are family, and by staying together, we can be God's children here on earth.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Discover the beauty, truth, and goodness of the Church. With the EWTN online learning series, you can delve into the riches of the faith and grow closer to the Lord with free videos and study guides. Each EWTN online learning series is a collection of videos that features the faithful content you have come to trust from EWTN. Enjoy the practical wisdom and insights of Mother Angelica's book, In His Sandals, in this six-part online book study with EWTN chaplain, Father Joseph Mary Wolfe. Make sense of the chaos with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Enroll in the EWTN Online Learning Series free courses today at learningseries.ewtn.com.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider and a special I've prepared for your enjoyment this weekend. Because we're still in the Easter season, I thought it would be timely, fun, and informative to introduce you to something that very few people know about, the Via Lucis, the Way of Light, the post-Easter stations of the cross, if you will. First, let's look at the 50 days of Easter, as explained on the website of the Diocese of Alexandria, Cornwall, in Canada. We spend 40 days preparing for and counting down to the great celebration of Easter, the day that Christians around the world remember the resurrection of Christ. What many do not realize is that Easter is not a single day, but rather is a season made up of 50 days. We continue to live Easter for six consecutive Sundays before commemorating Jesus' ascension into heaven. The Easter season culminates the following week with the Feast of Pentecost, the day the apostles were sent out, accompanied by the Holy Spirit, on their great mission. At Masses during the Easter season, the usual Old Testament reading is replaced by readings from the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles recount the story of the Church's earliest days and the beginnings of our faith. These stories of heroism, controversies, persecution, and miracles all testify to the continued presence of the risen Christ in the world through the lives of his disciples and the actions of the Holy Spirit. Well, how is this related to the Via Lucis? The post-Easter period, as told by the apostles, is the Via Lucis. Now, we all know that the Via Crucis, the way of the cross, follows the course of Jesus' passion, death, and burial. This is observed by the devotion to the Stations of the Cross, a collection of 14 images that are to be found in virtually all Catholic churches. What fewer people know about is the Via Lucis, as I said, the Way of Light, the Stations of the Resurrection. And these celebrate the most joyful time in the Christian liturgical year, the 50 days from Easter, the Resurrection, to Pentecost, Descent of the Holy Spirit. The idea for depicting the Way of Light was inspired by an ancient inscription found in a wall of the San Callisto Catacombs on the Appian Way in Rome. This cemetery is named for St. Callistus, a slave who eventually became the sixth pope, reigning from 217 to 222. The inscription found at St. Callistus comes from the first letter that St. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, around 56 A.D., in response to the report that some members were denying the resurrection. Paul wrote, "I delivered to you as of first importance what I had been taught myself, namely, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared to me too, as though I was born when no one expected it." The words of St. Paul. In the traditional scheme of the Stations of the Cross, the final station is the burial of Jesus. Though this constitutes a logical conclusion to the Via Crucis, it has been increasingly regarded as unsatisfactory as an end point to meditation upon the Paschal Mystery, which, according to Christian doctrine, culminates in and is incomplete without the Resurrection. For this reason, a 15th station representing the Resurrection is sometimes added to the Stations of the Cross. Even this practice, however, has been subject to criticism as insufficiently representing the twofold dynamic of the Paschal Mystery, the suffering and death of Jesus on the one hand, and on the other, his resurrection and glorification. Now, in the summer of 1988, Father Sabino Palombieri, professor of anthropology at the Salesian University in Rome, proposed the creation of a new set of stations, centered upon the resurrection and the events following from it, so as to emphasize the positive, hopeful aspect of the Christian story, which, though not absent from the Stations of the Cross, is obscured by their emphasis on suffering. The first major public celebration of this devotion was in 1990, after which it gained greater currency. Father Palombieri helped develop the idea to combine the events mentioned in the St. Callistus inscription with other post-resurrection events to create a new set of stations, the Stations of the Resurrection. As I just said, these new stations emphasize the positive, hopeful aspect of the Christian story that is not absent from the Way of the Cross, but is not as evident because of its tortuous side. The Way of Light, as it was called, thus serves as an optimistic complement to the Way of the Cross, and it was fashioned of 14 stations, paralleling the 14 Stations of the Cross. Father Sabino wrote of this idea in the 1999 document, quote, "Give me a firm footing," that described the realizations he had after a profound crisis of existential meaning because of the prospect of death. This was followed by a study of the Gospels in which he recognized that with the risen one, I know why I live. And here's what Father Sabino wrote. "Personally, thanks to this turning point of faith, I was able to continually proclaim the risen one, And in this way propose, as Pope Paul VI said, Christianity as joy, as continual striving to supersede the stalemate of suffering without an outlet. The Lord Jesus is for me, he who made me meet along my journey hundreds of brothers and sisters, youth and adults, so that together we might better remember this central portent, which is the resurrection from the dead in a community in journey. In this community, wrote Father, a new form of popular piety by his grace was sketched out. It is the Via Lucis, which is the physiological second moment of the Via Crucis, that by now has spread itself throughout the five continents. Its celebration has been accompanied by moments of special grace at Bethlehem, at Moscow, on the soil of the martyrs, in the catacombs of St. Callistus. So many suffering people write to me saying that every day they do a station of the Via Lucis, drawing from it strength, joy, and peace. Also, the very poor communities of Madagascar, of Brazil, Peru. It does not mean abolishing the Via Crucis, which is the mirror of the suffering of Calvary without end in the world. It means only completing it with the Via Lucis, which is the mirror of the hopes of the world, especially of those to whom it most rightly belongs, the poor. Now all the stations of the resurrection are based on scripturally recorded incidents contained in the four Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles. As with the stations of the cross, the devotion takes no fixed form, but typically includes for each station a reading from Scripture, a short meditation, and a prayer. Where a series of pictures is used to aid the devotion, it takes the form of a procession, with movement from one station to the next, sometimes being accompanied by the singing of one or more verses of a hymn. This devotion has received formal recognition by the Vatican's Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments. In December 2001, the Holy See promulgated a directory on popular piety in the liturgy, which commended the Via Lucis as follows, quote, "A pious exercise called the Via Lucis has developed and spread to many regions in recent years. Following the model of the Via Crucis, the faithful process while meditating on the various appearances of Jesus, from his resurrection to his ascension, in which he showed his glory to the disciples who awaited the coming of the Holy Spirit, strengthened their faith, brought to completion his teaching on the kingdom, and more closely defined the sacramental and hierarchical structure of the Church. Through the Via Lucis, the faithful recall the central event of the faith, the resurrection of Christ, and of their discipleship in virtue of baptism, by which they have passed from the darkness of sin to the bright radiance of the light of grace. For centuries, the Via Crucis involved the faithful in the first moment of the Easter event, namely the Passion, and helped to fix its most important aspects in their consciousness. Analogously, the Via Lucis, when celebrated in fidelity to the Gospel text, can effectively convey a living understanding to the faithful of the second moment of the Paschal event, namely the Lord's resurrection. The Via Lucis is potentially an excellent teacher of the faith, since, quote, per crucem ad lucem, through the cross one comes to light. Using the metaphor of a journey, the Via Lucis moves from the experience of suffering, which in God's plan is part of life, to the hope of arriving at man's true end, liberation, joy, and peace, which are essentially Paschal values. The Via Lucis is a potential stimulus for the restoration of a culture of life, which is open to the hope and certitude offered by faith, in a society often marked by a culture of death, despair, and nihilism. As of 2007, there is no universally agreed list of stations of the resurrection, nor have any church authorities sought to impose a definitive list. And as a result, some churches have commissioned sets of sculptures for the stations according to their own distinctive scheme, which may not be found elsewhere. This is, in fact, similar to the history of the Stations of the Cross, which attained their normative form only after many centuries of widely varying local practice. There is agreement on the number of stations, 14, to emphasize the complementarity between the Stations of the Cross, Via Crucis, and the Stations of the Resurrection, Via Lucis. In spite of continuing local variability, there appears to be an increasing convergence upon the following 14 as an accepted list of stations of the resurrection. These 14 stations, in fact, appeared in the April 2015 edition of Magnificat, with meditations and prayers and an introduction by Magnificat editor-in-chief, Dominican Father Peter Cameron. Here are those 14 stations. 1. Jesus is raised from the dead. 2. The finding of the empty tomb. 3. Mary Magdalene meets the risen Jesus. 4. Jesus appears on the road to Emmaus. 5. Jesus reveals himself in the breaking of bread. 6. Jesus appears to the disciples in Jerusalem. 7. Jesus gives the disciples his peace and the power to forgive sins. 8. Jesus confirms the faith of Thomas. 9. Jesus appears to disciples on the shore of Lake Galilee. 10. Jesus confers primacy on Peter. 11. Jesus entrusts the disciples with universal mission. 12. The ascension of Jesus. 13. Mary and the disciples await the coming of the Holy Spirit. 14. The Holy Spirit descends at Pentecost. Other sources, however, including some recent ones, replace some of these stations with others such as the earthquake, the angel appearing to the women, Jesus meeting the women, Mary Magdalene proclaiming the resurrection to the beloved disciple, and Jesus appearing to over 500 at once. Also, Jesus appearing to Saul. I hope you enjoyed this program. I loved learning about the Via Lucis, the stations of the resurrection, and I think it would be wonderful to organize a pilgrimage to the Holy Land based on these stations. Thanks for being with me. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.